at Ferraro's, Beecham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Hola, amigos. Experience the flavor-filled fiesta of La Fogata Mexican Grill in Kenosha. Dive into an exciting and inviting atmosphere where great service complements the excellent gourmet Mexican cuisine. Savor the slow-cooked delight of barbacoa enchiladas or indulge in fresh guacamole brimming with lively flavor. Your taste buds will thank you. La Fogata also provides gluten-free and vegan menus for those with specific dietary requirements. Visit La Fogata on Sheridan Road, just south of Carthage College.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is introducing a new Kringle creation. Cookies and Cream Kringle has a chocolate brownie base filling with a layer of smooth vanilla with crunchy cookie pieces. It's topped with vanilla bean icing and crunchy cookie crumbles. Pick one up for your family. They'll love it. While there, be sure to grab a loaf of cranberry pecan bread, a fall favorite. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights from O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Get ready for the winning team of selection, service, convenience, and savings at Studebaker's Fuel and Food in Racine. During this sweltering summer, cool down with an ice-cold deal. 10-pound bags of ice for just 99 cents. Keep your refreshing beverages cool while you're out and about. Whether you step into the store or slide through the convenient drive-thru, Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Fast meets fantastic at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine.
Do you play any golf?
Today?
Not today, but do you play any golf?
I do. I attempt to play golf.
Okay, well, if you shaved your beard off now, you're a spitting image of Scottie Scheffler. Has anybody else told you that?
No, not at all. Never.
Okay. Well, I think I'm assuming you're covering the game tonight for Chuck and Dan.
Actually, yes, and for WisSports.net, it's our Game of the Week.
Yes.
Quick Trip and Wisconsin Dairy Game of the Week, and with Trav's kid and Reedsburg playing in the Level 1 tonight, I get to come out and watch some good football.
Yeah, so Chuck didn't call me to give him the game tonight, the game summary, as they always want.
Yeah.
So you're doing that tonight. But, again, we are so happy to have you here because – we cannot tell you how much WIS Sports means to us, how much data and information I gather from week to week. And our listeners, oh, you prepare so much, and how do you get all that in? Well, we couldn't do it without WISSports.net. DG Sports, we're happy to be a media partner.
Yeah, we're extremely lucky to have partners like you, Zaleski, and many others that make our jobs a lot easier. You guys do excellent on your streams, on air, publishing, everything. So as much as we have the data, you guys have the voices and everything, and it's a great partnership.
So tell us a little bit, our listeners, about what you do. What's your role at WIS Sports?
So I came in out of college, and I did a lot of data entry. So stats, scores, schedules, just up every Friday night, up on during the basketball season, baseball season, just getting scores and everything in. In 2018, I transitioned into a little bit more full-time role. We expanded our event field. So I'm our event director. All of our showcases that we run basketball-wise, we've run a football combine in the past and then team tournaments in the summer in basketball. That's all fallen on me. And then this upcoming season, I'll actually take on a little bit of a new role as well, expanded with Mark going over to Prep Hoops. I'm for the most part handling the boys' basketball side of things, so that'll be a fun new adventure.
So you and I are going to become very good friends because I love football, but my passion is basketball. Seeing I played it, I coached it, I refereed it at the high school and collegiate level. So in that yearbook that Mark puts out is my Bible.
Oh yeah, it's everyone's Bible, and the same with me. I love football. I love every sport. Basketball is my passion. Played it at my JUCO in UW-Richland, so
you know.
And I've actually gone into year 10 of coaching. I coach JV boys for the Richland Center High School, so excited to get back there. It's gonna be a very, very busy winter.
It sure is, and there's a lot of teams we're excited about in my neck of the woods. My alma mater, Racine St. Catharines, they're loaded this year. Mark's got them picked to finish first in the Metro, but that doesn't mean anything. Case, isn't just a good football program. They're going to have a very strong basketball program. Let me ask you this. Why does it appear that in basketball, the southern part of the state typically crowns a lot of state champions when it comes to the tournament?
Even down here in football, when it comes to that postseason play, you guys beat up on each other down here all regular season. So when it comes to that postseason play where you guys, the teams down here, they've been weathered, they've played great competition throughout the whole season, and then they get to make those runs in playoffs because they've seen, they've been prepared. They aren't going up against teams in necessarily in next of the woods where the competition isn't as great or isn't as deep.
Well, let's get back to this football game. I know Dylan will have a few questions for you, too, but let's talk about this. In your opinion, would this be a level one game to you? I mean,
if you look at the scoreboard, yeah, we're at 0-0. if you were to ask, if you look at a lot of scores probably around, I haven't gotten to really check Twitter yet, but if you were to look, I'd imagine there's quite a few blowouts, and that's kind of what happens at the level one. But overall, this game, we're in for a second half that I don't know what's going to happen.
You've been able to cover lots of different areas across the state of Wisconsin throughout the season. Talk a little bit about some teams maybe that we might not see in our area where what football is so much more different. A lot of teams you see, they run triple option. Everything's under center. Tonight, two teams primarily in the gun or pistol formation, up-tempo. Just talk a little bit about the dynamics across the state and what, you know, is all out there for our listeners.
It's really funny. When you come, and I got to watch Franklin Catholic Memorial mm-hmm. in week one.
Yep.
That was the other game that Greendale and Greenfield got to cover that one, too.
I heard you on giving your game summary after the game.
Down here, it's a lot more spread out. I grew up around smaller football. The town that I live in now, they play eight player,
so it's
a little different. But where I grew up from, and then I went to go see Mondovi, Stanley Boyd. I went and saw Cuba, Darlington. It's a lot more just under center. We're going to see how many yards we can get straight forward and throw that occasional pass. Cuba opened it up a little bit more, but nothing like what you see here. Oconomowoc is a little bit more of that wannabe go straight forward, but that Cates defensive line has played incredible tonight.
I mean, Case, they shut out Oak Creek, who's getting manhandled. They're down 28-0 against Muskego.
Oh, wow.
I think something that is a little confusing or maybe surprising is just how bad they are losing. Muskego's a very strong Classic A team. Speak a little bit about the strength of the Classic Eight, what that kind of implied for seeding 8-1 team as a 6 seed. Very confusing. Just kind of talk a little bit about where things are across the state from your perspective in terms of seeding and what we see here tonight.
Seeding it's been a big issue all week, obviously. My brother Travis, our general manager, did a great job of going over it in the WSN podcast this week where he kind of talked through it. But, I mean, he even said it, and I saw it today, or I saw it on Saturday as well, where this year, more than a lot of years in the past, there's a lot of question marks. And it wasn't just in certain divisions. It felt like it was statewide. It felt like there was at least one or two where you're scratching your head in every division. So as far as the Classic 8 goes, like we talked about in basketball, they beat each other up and they're prepared for when it gets cold, when the hits hurt a little bit more. So that conference does a great job of being able to prepare their teams for late and long playoff pushes.
So are you for the new system now, the computer that they generate and seed the, or do you think the coaches should still have some input? Or maybe or media people?
I think that there could be a medium. In talking with coaches in years past, and I've sat in seating meetings too, where if you have 12 teams in a seat, or if you have 16 teams in a sectional in a meeting, eight or nine of them are from one conference or something like that.
Boy.
You've seen it in past where that sectional favoritism or that conference favoritism, happens. As far as the computers go, I think there's an answer there. I don't know if the algorithm is the formula has necessarily been fleshed out completely the way it should be. Tinkering that, going back after this season, after every season, and just seeing where were the question marks? Why did this seed happen here when the general public maybe thought that should have been flipped? So I don't think that there's necessarily media, coaching, computers. I would say that there's a medium there that I don't necessarily know the answer to.
So this is year three of the computer or year two?
I believe it's year three, yeah.
Okay, so there could still be more tweaking coming, trying to, resolve some more things.
Yeah, I think one of the examples of that would be in Division II, Cedarburg, Slinger, Homestead, Germantown, all very strong teams within the same subsectional group. Germantown getting a 7 seed, Cedarburg being that 2. Cedarburg lost to Homestead and Slinger, who ended up, Slinger was the 1, Homestead the 3, Germantown's the 7. They beat Homestead, who's the 3 seed. They have the same record. It's just a lot of things like that where it really makes people confused. I would like to see something kind of implemented where, okay, we have the computer model. We come together for maybe a half hour and say, hey, this doesn't really make sense. This doesn't make sense. Cool. Everybody's in agreement. Let's move on. I think something like that would be kind of cool to see.
I think that finding the right people to then come together after that process would be the tricky part. Is it the coaches? Is it the media? Is it a certain group of individuals within a board of control or something that does that? With regards to that seeding that you talked about, it was a little bit of a head scratcher, and you had with Columbus and Aquinas, and they're in the same subsectional.
Yep.
Columbus is undefeated. They beat Aquinas, and Aquinas is the 1 seed, and Columbus is the 2. So it's there's those that are head scratchers where it you want to know kind of what is being weighted as far as in that formula. Is head-to-head being weighted more than something else? Is conference being weighted? So it's a little more parity on that, or not parity, clarity on that would be, I think, something that could help answer a lot of questions.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you now, Colton. We're going to get back to basketball. Do you ever see us going back to an 8-team Division I format?
I think so, yeah. It's finding, because there's that open session on Thursday. There is that open session. The biggest gripe, I think, and me being a small school coach, is with that, do Division I teams then have to win 3 games and get to state? Is that fair to a team that has to go through 5 or 6 wins and get to that state?
Yep.
So it's finding, does the Division I field then expand? Because right now, I think it's the smallest of all the divisions.
Yes, as far as teams in D1, yeah.
But the talent is there. And, we've seen it in the past couple years. The talent really has been in that Division II field. So.
Yes. Yeah, you are correct.
We've seen kind of implemented across the state for all the sports, the competition balance. Talk a little bit about the impact that's had on some schools. Some schools, not so much. Thomas More, we covered them based on the teams they played. They're for basketball moving up, and they lost all their good players. So sometimes it helps, sometimes it hurts. Talk a little bit about across the state where we're seeing it and the impact it'll have on the game.
If you look strictly at football, just for a couple examples, Regis gets moved up and from D7 to D6, and they've played in D6 a couple times in the years past, but they were my pick to win the D6 championship. I know my brother, I think, picked them, and quite a few others have picked them, but there are, with the bigger programs that move to like that D2, D1, it'll have an impact, but they're able to, their feeder programs are, they do a great job. They have so many more athletes to pick from. When it comes to teams that are necessarily moving to that D5, D4 team, you might get just, I mean, we saw it with like a Newman Catholic in boys basketball a couple years ago. They went to state and then they dropped off. You just have those, you have those waves. Blackhawk girls, they were good for 5-6 years, you know. Those smaller schools are impacted a lot more by this, but they, I don't know the exact how long they stay in those. They are bumped up. I'd have to educate myself more on that, but if the numbers slowly deteriorate, right, if you accumulate the 7 points after 3 years and you don't get back to state in that third year.
Is that what it is?
The points taken off, okay. But I don't know if you drop back or not. That would be a better question for Trav. He's a lot more, he's a lot smarter than me. I'll give him that.
Oh, you will.
But it's something that I'm definitely, with going forward with this basketball coverage, going to educate myself on a lot more.
So are you happy, whether it's football or basketball, with the number of divisions we have?
In football, I think it's we're going towards a path where I can see six, just with the amount of teams that going down to eight-man. The eight-man field, like Trav mentioned in the podcast this week, the eight-man field has plateaued a touch this year. But we still see a lot of, you know, teams from that Division VII going down to there. So I could see six. I could see four in basketball. There's pros and cons of four. There's pros and cons of five. It's just a question of when and where, because it's an argument you see every off season, every in season. So it's a discussion. It's a conversation. And I think it's good to keep talking about it.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up about, you know, with the competition going from one division to another, for example, I can bring up an example, Wastosha Central now, because of the competition, they're moving up in basketball. Well, actually, when you look at the field, the division they're coming out of is so low, they may be just as competitive moving into Division I based on, you know, the quadrant they're going to be in.
Yeah. I mean, there's that definitely will happen. Like, you look at in D2 in the past. I mean, both Wisco and Pewaukee are going to be moving up. But if just one of those would have moved up, that other one sure has quite an advantage. So West Dallas Central, they're going to be really good in that Woodland Conference. This year.
Well, we got to get rolling here, Colton. It was a pleasure to have you on, and hopefully, we'll see you down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys very much, and it was a pleasure meeting you.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
That's Colton Wilson from WisSports.net, who we talk about all the time. All right, we're just about ready to get our second half underway. We're scoreless here. No score here. Both teams have come onto the field and have done their mandatory stretching, and Dylan, good interview at halftime.
Yeah.
Got a lot of questions answered, correct?
Yeah. I think it goes toe-to-toe in terms of just, I don't know. I love that interview. I thought it was really good. I think when we had both the ADs on when we were at Burlington, I think that was just as good, if not better, of an interview here tonight. Colton, very informative, just like his brother Travis, and gave us a lot of insight kind of just overall across the state, right? You and I, personally, we don't watch any Division 5, 6, right, 7, unless it's the St. Joe's or something like that. So it was cool to get the insight and just kind of a perspective of somebody that's watched nothing but small school football their whole life. And now they get to come down here. Well, this is Division I football. Mm-hmm. They have the stands are full with as many people that live in the entire city from where he's from, if not double, triple the size of the city. So it was really good to bring in that perspective. I love the conversation about basketball. You know, great game with a great interview. It's just been a phenomenal night for you and I so far, Dick.
Yeah, it's interesting that he said his high school is an eight-man football program now. So, all right, so Case getting ready to kick off to the old Oconomowoc Raccoons. We haven't had a game here. I don't know since we've been together if we've ever had a game scoreless at half. This could be the first time.
Yeah, definitely this season. It's very, very, very rare to see.
All right, so Taylor, the kickoff for the Raccoons. And a touchback for the Eagles. So they'll bring it out. So Case will go on offense first. And let's see what adjustments were made at halftime.
Yeah, I think both teams really did a good job in the first half, just kind of moving the ball. Nothing too crazy, but I can't say enough words about how great of a game it's been, Dick.
Speechless. All right, so Geppetto will bring him out. He's in the pistol. He's got two wideouts to the right and one to the left. This time hands it off to Echols. Echols coming to the outside, which I talked about in my pregame. Try to get him out on that edge and let him run. So he picks up 7 yards there for the Eagles. Just underway here in the third quarter. No score. And Geppetto bring him out. Now this time they're going deliberate. They're not going quickly. Geppetto in the pistol. Hands it off to Echols again, trying to jitterbug his way back inside, but he's going to be short of the first down. It'll bring up third down.
Yeah, we've seen Echols break a few runs earlier in that first half. Just incredible athleticism there.
And they gave him a first down there. I thought he was short, but...
Yeah, it looked like he was short by almost 2 yards, and they ended up moving the sticks.
I didn't get that, but okay, Geppetto, that's what we want to see. First down. Delayed handoff to Echols.
And oh, wait a minute. It was fumble.
And a fumble.
Ball was stripped.
A fumble by Tatum. Tatum Blaine. Forced the fumble. Blaine forced the fumble on that Eagle runner, Echols. So Oconomowoc takes over in very good position now.
And what a turnover. Talk about momentum swings. You had great possessions in the first half. You give it to Case to start the second half. Well, guess what? We're stealing the ball right from you, and we're going to go and put down points.
And it literally looked like he stripped it away.
Right out of his hands, absolutely, Dick.
So Munzel on the handoff. And nothing there. So to bring up second down, he lost one there. Serafin on the carry. So they say he lost two, second and 12. Under 10 to play now already in the third quarter. Munzel in the gun. Play handoff again. And they bottled him up again. Oh. He didn't like, Serafin didn't like something. I don't know what it was, but he didn't like it.
Yeah, I think it was that little second action. Whistles were blowing and they flung him to the ground.
So it brings up third down. Dylan, maybe we'll see in a field goal attempt here if they don't make it. All right, third down. Third and long for the Raccoons. Munzel in the gun. He's got two to the right. He rolls out now. Now he's got a throw. It's caught for a touchdown. Touchdown for Oconomowoc.
Wide open.
And he was wide open. Exactly.
It was Cole Schwafel
Schwafel on the reception for the touchdown to make it 6-0, Oconomowoc. And now we will see Jackson Taylor to attempt the extra point.
Hard to see the number down there, Dick.
Yeah, it was. There's the snap. The kick is up. And the kick is good. So at 9:12 to go, that fumble recovery, Oconomowoc turns it into 7 points. So they take the lead at 7-0 with 9:12 to go in our third quarter.
Our first points of the game come due to the turnover. Incredible defensive stand there by Oconomowoc. You know, Dick, we showcased the Racine Case defense a lot here tonight. We've talked about them. We've covered them many, many times this year. But they were unable to stop anything, really. I think that turnover was more shock than anything else.
And again, he just literally took it away from Echols.
Hey, he ripped it right out of his hands. He was trying to carry it downfield, gain a few extra yards, and he just ripped it right out of his arms.
All right. So Jackson Taylor to kick off. And you got Echols back as one of the deep men, which is interesting because that shows Anton Graham still has a lot of confidence in him.
Dick, a score update from Waterford. They're up 20-0 over Stoughton in the third quarter.
And again, Travis Wilson picked Waterford to win. So, and it'll be a touchback for the Eagles. So good job by the Wolverines. Hopefully they can close it out now.
A little surprising one. We had talked about a halftime controversy. Well, Pewaukee, they're trailing 41-7 against Notre Dame Tritons at halftime.
Wow.
Muskego now hitting that magical 35 number against Oak Creek to get that running clock.
Okay, and Waterford will play, if they do hold on and win, they'll play the winner of Sauk Prairie and Mount Horeb Barneveld. And we'll consider that. Geppetta back to pass, wants a throw. Complete. The hook pattern. Too far. So to bring up though, second and one. 7-0's our score now, though. Oconomowoc with the lead. Geppetta in the pistol, has Echols behind him, got wideouts on both, right and left, still has it, looking for someone, now throws it down, incomplete, batted down. Ooh, a little shove there.
Hey, it's starting to get chippy out here, Dick.
Yep, see if they give a warning. And he does. I think it was Paul Emmons that warned that raccoon.
Yeah, and I'm okay with no penalty there on that play. It was a little extra, but nothing egregious. Just one of those where you want to try and talk to him, nip it, and you don't want to throw a flag if you don't have to.
All right, third and one. In the pistol. Two to the right, one to the left. Gives it out to, oh, and they bury him. Taken way down for a loss.
Close to the first down.
And it'll bring up fourth down.
So fourth down, Case has got to punt it. Yeah.
So Houghton will have to punt it away. Boy, something woke up the raccoons. I guess it was that score.
Yeah, I think Coach kind of halftime woke him up a little bit. I've met him a few times through my refereeing career, and he's just one of those motivating guys.
Yeah, you met him.
Yeah.
All right, Houghton to punt it away. All right, now we got now a delay of game. Yeah, okay. All right, so Houghton to kick it away again here now.
It looks like one of the Racine Case players didn't have a mouth guard or something like that. They put them out, and they're going to go back 5 yards.
All right, so 7:51 to go in our third quarter. Again, a reminder, we'll be picking our DG Sports player of the game when this one concludes.
There's definitely a little bit of miscommunication happening here. The box moved, the referees moved, and now they're bringing it back to where the ball originally was. So.
Okay. So now they chop it in. Haughton to punt it away. High snap. Gets it away. And they'll let it go.
This should get spotted near the 50-yard line, if I were to say, Dick.
Yeah, okay. Briggs would have been the punt return man for the Raccoons. And let's see how good Dylan's eyes are. Let's see where they mark this.
And there is a penalty marker.
Now we got a
penalty.
Well. You are correct.
So this is going to be after the play. A personal foul against...
Against Oconomowoc, I think.
Yeah. I don't think they're calling running into the kicker. They're just calling it a personal foul, like an unnecessary roughness style hit, something like that. So it's going to be 15 yards back from the 40.
All right. All right, stop at your play. 7:40 to go in our third quarter. It's Oconomowoc 7. Case 0. Referee trying to explain it to the Raccoons now. But the main thing is they'll take the ball and see what they can do with it. First down. First and 10 at their 34-yard line. Appears Munzel is still the quarterback now. Munzel throws it out here, complete, up to the 40, hits the midfield, and they knock him out of bounds as Bork. Bork on the reception as he indicates he's got a first down. A little bit of showboating there by that Raccoon.
A Michigan State commit there, Dick, on the big tight end target.
Yep. So they'll move the chains. 7:32 to go in our third quarter. Be a big, they punch it in again here. That'd be big, the way they're playing D.
Absolutely.
All right, Munzel in the shotgun. He's got one to the right. Hands at the late handoff to Serafin. And again, just taking their time as we close in on 7 minutes to go. As they huddle up, smartly, taking time off that clock. We're under 7 now. Second and 7 for Munzel. At the 40. He's got two to the right. Delayed handoff again to Serafin.
He's a good ball carrier, Dick.
Yeah.
Not really explosive from him tonight, but we've been able to see him run over defenders, gain the yardage, keep the feet moving.
Clock continues to run. 6:25 to go in our third quarter. Third and 3 for Munzel and his Raccoons. Now he's got a wide out to the left and one to the right. Munzel again hands it off. This one, Serafin blows it all the way down inside the 20-yard line for the Raccoons, and they're starting to take control here.
And they're starting to just grind away that Racine Case tenacious defense that we've seen all year. It's been nothing but Oconomowoc here in this second half, Dick.
And at least up to this point, we can see why that Classic 8 conference has the reputation it has. All right, first and 10 at the 18-yard line of Case. Full house backfield for Muzzle. Hands it off again to Serafin, trying to cut back inside. Negotiates a few yards. So to bring up second down, main thing is they're in the red zone and they got that clock running. All right, second and 7 as we close in on 5 to go in our third quarter. All right, he's got two wide outs to the right, one to the left for Munzel. This time, very good run defense by the Case Eagles on Serafin.
Had a small gain there, maybe a yard if.
4:35 to go in our third quarter and running. Munzel will bring him out as we close in on 4. 4 to go in the third quarter. Munzel in the gun, rolling out. He's still got it. And he's got to keep it.
Across for a first down inside the 10.
And he's got that first down easily.
Munzel using those legs.
And it's a scramble. I wouldn't really call it a keeper. I'd say scramble for that first down. So first and goal now for the Raccoons. And again, in my opinion, they put another one in here. They're going to be in good shape the way that defense is playing. Now first and goal. Hands it off to Serafin. He's close, but they're going to spot him short. So Serafin again.
It looks like they put him down at the 2-yard line.
Okay, that's what you're saying, at the 2.
Yeah, sorry.
Looked to me like his helmet was over the goal line. Clock continues to run, though. That's what they want. And they do. They mark it at the 2. Munzel in the gun. Hands it off to Serafin. And he's in for the touchdown. Serafin on the touchdown to make it 13-0. Oconomowoc as they're taking control of this game.
Yeah, it's been the last almost 10 minutes now, Dick, just nothing but Oconomowoc getting big stops, that huge strip, just controlling the pace of the game as well.
So now Jackson Taylor to try to convert this extra point. There's the snap. The kick is up. And the kick is good. So with 3:03 to go in our third quarter, it's now Oconomowoc 14, Case 0. Dylan, if you're the Case Eagles, what are the coaches telling those Eagles right now?
I think the biggest thing is you need to wake up. Your season ends today if we lose. There's no going back. We need to really turn things around here. Players on the sidelines starting to hang their heads, stuff like that. This is the playoffs. You can't just turn it off like a switch. You guys had great control in the first half. You can't just, oh, we're down. We gave up a touchdown. Oh, we gave up a fumble. Oh, blah, blah. No, you got to rally behind them. The Case sideline just seems like they fell asleep at halftime and haven't even come out for the second half.
All right, Taylor to kick off. Got Farr and Echols back. 50 for the Eagles. See if he gets a touchback again here. There's the boot. And we got another touchback, Dylan. With 3:03 to go. Eagles will come out. And they got to get something going now. 14-0, Oconomowoc with the lead. The winner of this game gets the winner of Jamesville Craig and McGuanagal. More than likely, McGuanagal.
Yeah, I haven't seen a score yet for that one, Dick, but that one was going to be a very lopsided score, if I were to say.
All right, Geppetta brings him out. He's got a wide out to the left and two to the right in the pistol. Now to get on the move. Geppetta back to pass. Wants to throw. It's cut. He's at the 50 to the 40. Down to about the 33-yard line is Johnson. Tolan Johnson on that catch. And again, one thing about Leo Geppetta, he never loses his cool. He's always calm, relaxed. Now Geppetta got to throw again. Completes it. Gets away. Down to the 20. Down to about the 11-yard line. And that was Fenderson, far on the reception. Right in the pistol again. Gives it off to Eccles. He's inside the 5. And they knock him out of bounds. So I just talked about it. That's how quickly the Case Eagles, they can score.
And something surprising to me, Dick, we haven't really seen this up-tempo too much here tonight, but it's definitely working.
All right, in the pistol again. Geppetta back to pass, throws. And he's got his man for the touchdown. Jacob Halton on the reception for the touchdown.
His first of the year, Dick.
Yep, Halton to make it 14-6. And just like that, the Case Eagles are back in this game with 2:10 to go in our third quarter. All right, are they going for two? I don't know here. They're running in two more players. Hopefully,
still need a kicker out there, Dick.
Yes, they do. And again, that flag's going to come out shortly. If all right, they are going to kick it. There's the snap. The kick is up, and the kick is good.
As 18, Dalen Ward.
It appears it was Dalen Ward. You are correct. That put it through. So with 2:10 to go in our third quarter, it's now Oconomowoc 14, Case 7.
Yeah, it looked like the Case players were too busy celebrating that touchdown that they kind of lost track of what was next. Jacob Houghton, normally the kicker for them, just didn't even go out there for the kick.
So now the question will be, can the Raccoons answer? If they answer again, because they have had their way so far.
Hey, call me crazy, Dick, but I would suspect an onside kick here coming from Case. We've seen from them this year.
Yep.
They're very aggressive.
Yep.
They don't have any fear when they do their play calling.
So Houghton to kick off for the Eagles. There's a kick. It's a beauty, fielded by the Raccoons. Up to the 10, 15, up to about the 18-yard line. Myrick on the return. Myrick. for the Raccoons. Now it'll be interesting to see what the Case Eagle defense does against this Raccoon offense.
And I think Oconomowoc needs to come out and do exactly what they did on the last drive if they want to put more points on the board.
2:04 to go in our third quarter. Munzel is the quarterback. He's in the gun. Got a wide out to the left and two to the right. A little handoff there to Serafin. So they'll keep that clock going as we're under two to play in our third quarter. On a very cool football Friday night. Munzel in the gun. Hands it off again. And that fake did not work too well. To Serafin.
And he tried to truck the Racine Case defender. He just wasn't able to get away from that tackle.
So it's 3rd and 7. Under a minute to play now in our third quarter. Full house backfield for Munzel. He's going to pass. Caught, nothing. And it's going to be 4th down. That was Bork, the receiver. So it brings up 4th down.
And we talked about momentum swings. Well, this is a swing right back in the favor of Racine Case, Dick.
And Coach Logie is talking to his players. And they must have called a... Nope. They're going to let the clock run out. And that's the end of our third quarter of play with our score. Oconomowoc 14, Racine Case 7. We'll step away for 30 seconds. You're listening to high school playoff football on DG Sports.
Ready to hit a home run at your next tailgate or special event? Step up to the plate with Danny's Meats and Catering. They're your MVP to irresistible box lunches. Become the game day grill master with the Danny's freezer pack full of meat selections. Whatever the occasion, Danny's has you covered with a winning lineup of top-notch venue, catering, and Hickory Hall packages that will knock it out of the park. Why settle for anything less than a grand slam? Swing by 4 Mile Road in Racine or cateringbydanny.com.
We start our fourth quarter here, 14-7. Oconomowoc with the ball and getting ready to punt it away to Michael Farr. Will be Jackson Taylor. It's blocked. It's blocked. Blocked by the Case Eagles. And again, Yesencio with the block. So 1st and 10 for the Case Eagles. Wow, talk about momentum swings. All right, Geppetto, bring him out. They trail by 7. See if he can get this one in with 11:52 to go in regulation.
1st and 10, 14-7, O'Connell.
Geppetto in the pistol. And around. And the first down. Cuts back inside. Down to about the 12-yard line. And here comes the Eagles. I think that was Michael Farr on the end around. Pistol. Geppetta throws in the dirt. Knocked away, though. Deflected, should say. Give the credit to the Raccoons as they knocked that one down. Bring up second and 10. Stops the clock with 11:39 to go. In regulation.
Dick, it looks like Stoughton's trying to stop Waterford. The score now 14-20. Waterford still lead.
14-7. All right, so Waterford not there yet. In the pistol. Geppetta back, and they stop. Blew it dead.
Called it encroachment.
Offsides on the Raccoons. Boy, they are self-destructing.
Hey, we might even see a timeout here, just kind of calm them down maybe. I don't know, but it has been all Case.
Yep.
Tale of two quarters.
Yes. All right, clock starts up again, 11:35 to go in our fourth quarter. Geppetta in the pistol. Back to pass, throws towards the end zone. Incomplete, overshot his man. Well overthrew him. Johnson, the intended receiver. All right, Geppetta gets the play from the sideline. Third and five. Got to get the first down. Back to pass goes Geppetta. Throws over the middle. Complete for the touchdown. The touchdown. Michael Farr, Mr. Clutch, makes it a 14-13 game. Michael Farr. And again, Houghton now to try to tie this game up. No. It's Giovanni Gonzalez. Gonzalez to try. High snap. Kick is up. And we got a flag.
It'll be interesting if they go for this one, Dick. That field goal was barely good on the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they switch numbers or not, but it is 48 out there, not 46, which Gonzalez normally wears.
Yeah, I would think it's Gonzalez. There's a snap. The kick is up. And it's good. So 11:16 to go. We're tied at 14.
What an incredible second half of football we've had here. Just a game of momentum swings. We had that huge fumble recovery by the Raccoons. They were able to go down, score. Another defensive stop, able to go down, go up 14-0, or go up, 14-0 over this Case team. Case able to answer with a quick touchdown and another touchdown right away. We still have almost an entire fourth quarter to go here.
Yeah, and we got to mention, too, that Lincoln Meyer, who's Mr. Clutch for Geppetta, I don't think he's caught a ball all night.
He is not, that's correct.
Yeah, I think it is Gonzalez, Giovanni Gonzalez. So he must have switched numbers. to kick off now. There's the kick. And it'll be a touchback.
That's definitely Gonzalez. He must have switched jerseys or something. Oh, I see. They have two number 48s out there. One's on the field right now, and Gonzalez just came off wearing it. So
okay, we got it. All right, the Raccoons will come out. New ball game now, 14 apiece.
Dick, something to note, Jacob Houghton is on the sideline without his shoulder pads.
Okay.
And his arm is in a sling. Yeah. So
he must have separated his shoulder, maybe. Back to pass. That was Myrick in that time at quarterback. Here we go. So it'll be second down and 7 for the Raccoons. And Myrick, Dylan is back at quarterback now. Full house backfield. He's got two to the right. Hands it off again. Nothing doing. To Serafin. So it brings up third down. Very conservative here. Wonder if Munzel's somewhat hurt that he's not in there. Now looks like he may be back.
This is the loudest I've heard this Case crowd all year, Dick.
Yep.
Rightfully so in the playoffs here.
All right, Myrick in the gun. He's going to throw. Incomplete. Intended for Allen, and it brings up fourth down. And they'll have to punt it away, and the Eagles have pretty much taken control now, momentum-wise, of this game. Plus, you got, if you kick it too far, it could be dangerous. 10:01 to go in regulation. We're tied at 14. Taylor gets it off. Farr. Here he comes. Farr goes back. At about their 48-yard line. He is exciting, though. So Jackson Taylor punted it away.
Dick, I will say this. Michael Farr, regardless what sport, he's just such a fun athlete to watch. Explosive, just so much talent.
And he should have a very good year in basketball this year, too.
We'll see the impact on this offense without Houghton here going the rest of the way.
Good point. We'll see now. 9:48 to go. Geppetta brings them out. All the momentum in the favor of the Eagles right now. As Geppetta, he'll work out of the pistol.
Explains why he wasn't out there to kick that extra point, Dick.
So we got one to the right and three to the left. And now we got a timeout. We got a timeout call by the Case Eagles. So we'll step away for 30 seconds. You're listening to high school playoff football on DG Sports.
Advanced Foot and Ankle of Wisconsin is Milwaukee's premier podiatry clinic with an elite staff of surgical podiatrists with the skills and experience necessary to diagnose and relieve any foot or ankle pain you're experiencing. Take a step towards pain-free feet and ankle by calling 414-281-1500. Visit their website at advancedfootandanklewi.com to learn more. Schedule an appointment at one of four locations, Milwaukee, Greenfield, Burlington, and Brookfield. Advanced Foot and Ankle, your best choice for foot and ankle care in southeast Wisconsin.
All right, back to live action here. 9:48 to go. We're tied at 14. Geppetta brings him out again in the pistol. Goes back to pass. He's got time. Throws down. Incomplete. They said he caught it.
I guess. He pushed the Oconomowoc defender to go up and get it. I was kind of surprised.
Now we've got stoppage of play here.
Oconomowoc coach